Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, I've been telling you this week we are going to have a guest, Scott Gross, and we're going to be talking about if you're in business, you want to be able to know how to assess how your customers feel. Also, if you're a consumer, what do you need to do for yourself so that you can expect better customer service with the people that you do business with? My guest, as I said, is Scott Gross. I have two books of his in front of me. One is called When Customers Talk, Turn What They Tell You Into Sales, and Why Service Stinks and Exactly What to Do About It. And both of these books are powerhouses. I recommend them highly. Scott, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Nice to be here. You named it Mind Power. I'm wondering what I'm doing on the show. Because in Texas it's Miller time, and I'm just toast. But
you're toast. Okay. Well, that's all right. You're gonna have to pour some beer on the toast, I think, so that you loosen up a little bit.
Okay. Let's go for it.
Let's go for it. Now, I want people to know that you're a consumer advocate. You've been involved with many Fortune 500 companies, all types of businesses. You really have a very good sense of humor when you go through a lot of the things that you're discussing, but there is a lot of serious material in each one of these publications that I have in front of me. Scott, why in the world did you decide you wanted to do homework on things about customers when most people, I know you're an advisor, but who has the time to do all of this stuff? How did you manage to get all of this information together?
Well, fortunately, I picked a very good partner, Big Research out of Dublin, Ohio. These guys are geniuses, and they use research to look into the future. They don't tell you what happens. They tell you what's going to happen 90 to 120 days out. They are scary accurate, but they're geeks. And they can handle the written word as well as they can handle the numbers. And so we have a perfect marriage. These guys will go out and find out anything I want to know, and they come back with it quickly and inexpensively and accurate.
Gee, how come the government doesn't use them? Never mind, you don't need to answer that one. Anyway, that would take a whole show. We could go into that. It would probably take a year to get through everything. But seriously, getting into this, why do you see it's scary when you deal with them? What kind of information do you have to give them? I mean, when you say that these guys are geeks, what is it you have to give them so they can do this homework with the numbers?
Well, it's very interesting. It's kind of coincidental. Your program is Delphi International. Your business is Delphi International. They use the Delphi method, and if you know about that, I guess you probably do. But it essentially is that you ask enough people the same question, you'll eventually get the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
Even though nobody gives you the right answer, you get a bunch of wrong answers, but they add up to be one right answer. And so they literally ask, I'll give you, this is the example that got my attention. They wrote an article predicting the sales of a major, major company. If I told you their name, you'd know them in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
And this was before the earnings reports were out on Monday. They made this prediction on Friday. They got within 1.25% of naming this company's exact sales.
Wow.
And so the company wanted to know, how did you know that? In fact, they got a call from the CFO, and he said, that's confidential information. It's SEC involvement and so on. How could you possibly know that? Where'd you get those numbers? And they said, we asked your customers 3 months ago how much they were going to spend at your store, and that's what they told us.
For heaven's sake.
So your answer was wrong, and my answer was wrong, and everybody else's answers were wrong, but when they took them and put them together, it was right. And the other thing that's kind of, not spooky or scary, but I just find intriguing as a Dickens, is they use what they call cluster technology. This is a computer technology. It's a form of artificial intelligence that was developed to help the TSA catch terrorists online. They apply this technology to consumers, and they take their verbatim responses, and a computer massages those responses and says, this is as a group, collectively, this is what we're saying. And it's spooky. And one of the things that they told us, I think the most useful, is what do customers want from a retail transaction? And they gave us five top things, and it's kind of interesting data.
I'd say so, because right off the bat in your book, you state that you ask 100,000. That is an awesome number. 100,000 very vocal consumers to help you write the book. And
so we actually got over 12 million individuals.
12 million?
There's a lot of them.
Wow. 12 million?
And we did it over a course of four, it's now in its sixth year, I think. So the data just gets better and better all the time.
Now that is just absolutely amazing that
it is
you
amazing.
Were able, it, I mean, in today's world, that's almost instantaneous feedback.
Well, and they can find out all kinds of interesting things. I just wrote a new book called The Service Prescription, Healthcare the Way It Was Meant to Be. I wanted to write, my first book, of course, you know, was Positively Outrageous Service.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to write a book on customer service in healthcare because healthcare is the big dog on the porch.
Yes,
big dog. And nobody really is touching it, although Mr. President Obama is taking a good swing at it. But when I wrote the service prescription, we asked people some interesting questions. One of them we asked was, how much would you pay extra to get really great customer service from your doctor? And they told us $12.65. Now,
amazing.
You realize in this country, every doctor is paid the same. Old doctors, new doctors, in-between doctors, they're all paid essentially the same. They're paid whatever the insurance companies and Medicare approve. So how does a doctor stand out? Well, he or she can do some things with customer service that causes people to say, yeah, I'm willing to kick in another $12.65 to get that kind of service. So we found a lot of interesting things like that. We found that the average customer in healthcare would drive 31 and a half minutes to get really great service from his doctor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now that seems reasonable to me. I don't think going a half hour anywhere is any big deal for anybody. So that
Well, it was kind of interesting that when we asked people to tell us if they were Asian, Black American, or Afro-American,
mm-hmm.
And divided everybody like we have a tendency to do in this country. And for some reason, the Asian people did not want to drive more than 20 minutes. I don't know why that is. It's just an anomaly in the data, but it's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating stuff. Well, and did you rate male, female, as far as did more women respond to this survey than men?
Actually, we have this all weighted by sex, by race, by age, and by income.
We could
literally tell you that somebody making $60,000 a year in the Northwest United States who was 34 years old and drives a Volvo, this is how they feel. I mean, that's cutting it a lot more than you would want to cut it, but
mm-hmm.
we can do it.
Well, see, to me, that's just absolutely phenomenal, that it makes it such a wonderful tool. Now, you mention that with business, it's always service that brings people back. And I have said for a number of years, we are getting so far away from that personal interaction. We have made it so, what do I want to say, distant. There's no conversation. And that, to me, always has been significant. Not that I don't enjoy perhaps ordering something online than most people, but or my husband is really more inclined to do that than I am. But I really do like that personal touch, if you will. I think that that's very important. And I'm hearing that from a lot of people, but I'm wondering if I'm an anomaly, if most people do not want that today. What did your stats say about that with relative to service?
Well, that's kind of interesting. I could give you, I got a bunch of answers because that's a great question. But first of all, customers told us why they thought service was not good. They said it was rude employees, insufficient employees, improperly trained employees, and rude customers. Rude, bad customer service comes when you have what we call service impossibles. We found out, and this I had some help with Bill Wagner from the Accord Management Systems in Southern California, we found out that about 15% of the population are what we call service naturals. These are people who are going to give you great customer service no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
If the boss is cranky, if the place is dirty, if they don't have the tools, they're still going to give you a great customer service because that's who they are.
Yes.
At the opposite end of the spectrum is another 15% that aren't going to give you good customer service no matter what. They just cannot do it. It's not that they don't like customers, it's just that they don't want to be around them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But then there's this big middle, the 70% in the middle. And these, we call them the service possibles. These are folks who could, with proper leadership and motivation, could give you what I call positively outrageous service. But that 15%, what happens is, and we also found out that there's something kind of magic about the 70%. About 70% of the population is in a job that doesn't match their personality.
Oh, and that was wonderful to learn about. I think that's fascinating. But go ahead.
And so really what it tells us is that, well, what we came out with the understanding is that there is a perfect job for every person. There's a perfect person for every job. Most of the time that the boss mishires, when the boss hires correctly, he often screws it up by putting them in a job that's not appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one other thing, and I forgot what it is, but that's plenty of information there. Most people are just not in a job where they are psychologically fit. That 15% of service impossibles, they should not have a job where they ever have to touch the remaining 85% of the population. They just don't like people. They haven't got what Ron Zimke calls high customer contact tolerance. They just can't
mm-hmm.
stand a lot of customer contact.
Oh, I've known people like that. I once worked with a gal who was an accountant, and she came out to talk to me one day. She said, I don't know how you can stand to deal with people the way you do. For me, talking to a human being is the last thing I want to be bothered with. Give me my numbers and my books and a room in the back, and I'm happy as a clam. And
well,
I looked at her, and I thought, that drives me nuts. Thank goodness for differences.
But she was in a job that suited her.
Yes. Yes, very much so.
You know, I was going to be a doctor, but I didn't think I'd have the patience. But I'm sorry.
I know. You had to throw one of those goodies in. Well, let's talk about how someone, let's just digress for a moment, because I know I have some people who are listening to the show that have businesses of their own, and the common complaint with people who are wanting to employ people is, you know, you're an employer, you know it's going to cost you a lot of money to train that employee, and that's actually one of the biggest expenses you have when you're in business. You don't want to bring the wrong person in, but a lot of entrepreneurs are not trained about this. Where could they go to do what you describe in your book, profiles? How could you find out the profile of that person that you are interviewing so that it's accurate and you know that they are going to fit the job that you're wanting filled?
Well, it's interesting. In the book, I think in Why Service Stinks, I'm pretty sure that's which one it's in, I give a list of questions we call ranging questions. There's four or five or six. And then I give a list of a dozen questions that I call verifying questions. And I don't know if you're aware of it, but I'm the mayor pro tem of a small town in Texas. And we recently went out shopping for a new city manager. And we had a very sophisticated profiling system. But during the interview, I just took my pencil and a pad, and I asked those four questions. And I drew the profile of all the candidates, and I was within a hair's breadth of what the fancy instrument did. So if you ask the right questions, you can you can learn amazing things about people. In fact, there's a verbal version of polygraphing, I call polyviewing, that will actually have people admitting to you if they are thieves or if they are have a drug problem or what. They will just tell you right in the interview. So it's all very possible to do. You just have to study a little bit.
Yes. Now, again, we're sort of going between the two books here, but there's When the Customers Talk, Turn What They Tell You into Sales, and Why Service Stinks, and Exactly What to Do About It. So the latter we've just been discussing. And he also mentions a company in there where you can do an analysis. And I just was so fascinated with all of the different things that are going on. And to the best of my knowledge, Scott, the personal touch has always made a difference. I remember a store that my husband loved to shop at. This was a men's clothing store, and it was the top of the line, and the suits, believe me, the price tags on these suits would make your eyes cross for the average individual, and you go, oh, my word. But they had absolutely the best materials, and there was a gentleman who was a salesperson there, and I call him a gentleman for a reason. He was always very well-dressed. When you came into that store, he would introduce himself. He would say, please take your time, look through the store. I'm here to serve you. If you have questions of any kind, all you have to do is look over towards me. I'll be right there with you if you need it. Well, my husband just loved this. And I was able, as the wife, this man in no way ever ostracized me. He always was there. He always asked my opinion. This was a man who was very savvy. And he'd look at me, and we learned how to exchange eye signals. And so he knew if I thought something looked good, it was okay. But there was this finesse that he had. Every time we went into that store, we never had to go through all kinds of things. It was that personalized service. He addressed us by name. We had his full attention. And I hate to tell you the amount of money. It was thousands of dollars over the years that we ended up spending at that store. And my husband still has some of those suits.
It's very interesting that you would tell that story, because we found out the five things, and if I were a business person listening to this show today, I would write this down. The five things that customers want from a retail transaction. And your guy was right at the top, and I'll share that with you. Let's do this David Letterman style and start with number five.
Okay.
Number five most important thing in a retail transaction, or actually any transaction, is customers want a fast finish. When they're through buying, they're out of the buying mood and they're in the leaving mood. That's not the time to sell them something extra. That's not the time to be on the phone to the cash register. That's not the time to be chit-chatting. They want out. Fast finish. The second thing, the number four thing that the customers want from a retail transaction is they want you to be convenient and easy to do business with. Now, that starts with your store design. They want to walk in the door. There needs to be a little landing space where they can kind of get their mental act together. And then they want signage that's so clear that they can go to exactly where they want, find their product, and head to the cash register.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to operate on their time, be open their hours, take their credit cards, and so on. The number three thing, and this was a real surprise for me, because I thought, sometimes customers will beat you up over a nickel, and you think price is the god of everything, but customers said that they wanted a price that represented a value. They didn't say they wanted a low price. They said they want a price that represents a value. They'll pay you more if they think they're getting something for their money.
Right.
So it's very important that business people learn how the term I use is tangibilize, to make real. If you do something for a customer, this is a rhetorical question. If you do something for a customer and the customer doesn't know that you did it, does it add to the value? No, it doesn't. It just adds to the cost. So if you have a degree or a special training or a special kind of equipment that you use or a special ingredient, you need to make that real to the customer so they can say, oh, yeah, well, that's why I pay a little extra, because he's a certified whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The number two thing the customers ask for, and this is, and these are all kind of evenly spaced in the numbers. Number two thing is they want friendly, available sales staff. Now, I was disappointed because I'm a touchy-feely kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hoping that that would be number one, but it wasn't. They want friendly, available sales staff. But the number one thing the customers say that they want from a retail transaction is knowledgeable, available sales staff. Now, interestingly enough, what they told us was, when I want, and your story just suits this to a T, customer said, when I want to see a salesperson, I want them to be right there. But when I don't want to see a salesperson, I don't want to see a salesperson. So
right.
your customers are kind of bipolar here, and I'm not really sure how to solve that, but it looks like your guy in the suit store had it pretty much figured out. He told you, I'm here if you need me, but if you don't, I'll be over there.
Mm-hmm.
That was very smart.
And he'd watch. And he'd just, you know, if your eye caught his, all you had to do was give a slight nod or smile, and he'd very easily, you know, easy going, walk over and say, is there something that you need some assistance on? What can I do for you?
And my guess is that when you picked up a suit or your husband picked up a suit, this guy came over and said, just for your interest, this fabric is made in Thailand with
mm-hmm.
whatever. That stories and knowledge add value to a product.
Oh, I agree. One of the most frustrating things for me as a woman is to walk into a store, and especially one of these great big conglomerates, and not to be able to find anyone that can give me any information. And I'll go in there. Lots of times I've walked out because I didn't have anybody to talk to. Or when I did get someone, they'll say, gee, I just started here last week. I don't know anything about this. It's amazing. I was in a big chain situation. It wasn't a huge store. It's a smaller store that handled technological items. And there was this guy behind the counter, and I walked in with an item I had purchased. I said, please excuse my ignorance, but I really am not familiar with how to handle this. Could you help me? This man was wonderful. He said, I'd be glad to. And he assisted me with all kinds of things. We found out a battery had not been operating properly. Goes through it. And I thought, I'd come back to this place anytime because this guy wasn't there the time before. They have a turnover with their staff that's incredible. And I just looked at this and I thought, wow, this is a good salesperson, but he didn't have a name tag, so there was, you know, I was in a hurry, but he was so gracious with me. But you look at these things, and you want to let businesses know that they have good employees, but it's gotten to the point now, if you try to do that, where do you send the information to? It's just very frustrating.
It is frustrating. Very few businesses know how to handle a complaint, and one of the things that as a consumer, and here's a little tip for a consumer, you have a problem. You don't want to deal with a clerk because most of the times they don't have the authority and they're worried about getting in trouble. You want to deal with the boss because it's easy for the boss to be in the back of the house and make rules for these other folks to enforce, but it's really hard for the boss to look you in the eye and tell you no. Very hard, so you want to ask for the boss. But here's how you ask for the boss. You never say, I want to speak to your manager. Because I guarantee you, that employee's going to say, well, he's not in and won't be back until November.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't want you to speak to the manager, because you're complaining about them. What you have to do is say, who could we talk to? Who could you and I talk to who has the authority to make a decision that'll make me happy? Then you're going to the boss together. And the employee is literally saying, here, boss, here's a problem. You take them.
I like that.
That's the way you get something done. Now, sometimes it doesn't work. I was in a big box discounter. I think it was in Albuquerque. And I found what I wanted, but it was in a locked glass case, and there was no one around. So out of frustration, I went over to a pole that was supporting the ceiling. There was a phone there. It had INT for intercom marked on the keypad. I picked up the phone, dialed, hit the INT, and I said, attention shoppers, this is a customer. Aisle 12, sure would like some help. Thank you. And you would be surprised how fast the security guys can move if they're motivated.
Hey, folks, we have to look for those intercom phones on the poles.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. That is terrific. Well, in your book, When Customers Talk, you talk about service efficiency, competing on price, technology. You've got all kinds of wonderful information in here. Let's shift over to the other book, Why Service Stinks, for just a moment, because I mean, if you could see your books, I hope you wouldn't be offended. I've got them highlighted. I have, you know, little comments about different things. But one of the stories you had in here I just thought was so funny. And it was under dumbing down the job. And you were observing an employee at a drive-thru. And you are very familiar with restaurants because you have had your own. You know how to work with things efficiently. Your wife is just one of these people. She gets along with employees well. You've had a lot of your own learning curves. But you had a 16-year-old employee working one of his first shifts, and you didn't expect a lot out of him, naturally, because he was learning. But when you made change, he said, how do you do that? You got to tell the rest of this story. This just was hysterical.
So we're working the drive-thru, and we were really busy and having it. I enjoy it. I like to rush hours. And the kid looks over my shoulder and said, how did you do that? And he was referring to making the change in the cash register. I thought he didn't understand the POS system. And I said, well, it's easy. Instead of entering the amount tendered, you just hit the amount tendered key, and the drawer comes open, and you count the change back by yourself. He said, no, how do you know how much change to give them? I said, it's a secret. Only the old people know how to do this. You know,
I love that. Only old people know how to do this.
And you want to know why kids can't make change? They can't make change because retailers are so afraid they're going to lose 2 cents in a miscount that they made the job idiot-proof. And when a job is idiot-proof, you have no right to be surprised when only idiots want to do it. I flew my little airplane out to a West Texas town for a Chinese dinner at the airport, of all things, one day. And when I got to the register, I handed the gal a $20 bill and I think 3 cents. I don't know what it was. She looked at me. She was just dumbfounded. And she took out a piece of paper and started to calculate the change. I think the bill was something that ended in 78 cents, so it would have made it even around quarter, and it would have been easy to make change for most normal human beings. And I said, doesn't it embarrass you not to be able to count change like this? She said, oh, well, I went to school in New Orleans. Like, I'm excused. I'm from New Orleans. I can be dumb. It's really a shame. One of the things that I recommend that business people do is to introduce complexity. Not to make the job simpler, but make it more complex. Then people, when you hand people big problems, they become big people.
And that is so important. I think we have literally dumbed down a lot of our educational process. And one of the things that, of course, that could be a whole program all by itself, but I really think so many of the points that you bring out, both about customers, but also what we as consumers can do, both of your books have so much information in them, Scott. What is a website that people can go to? What are they going to find on your website when they go, after you tell us what the website is?
Lord only knows what they're going to find on my website. It's always got something goofy on it. I just posted a blog. I hope it's got posted on the Olive Garden effect. So they're going to learn about small-town politics if they go to my website. But lots of fun things there. It's just tscottgross.com, tscottgross.com. And if they want, they can sign up for my e-zine, and once a month, regular as rain, I'll send them a great customer service story.
And that is important, because I think part of what it brings about change is that we need to know, first of all, as consumers, we can walk our talk with our wallets, which often is done, but also, too, sometimes people in business honestly don't know because they're not taught these things in business school. I've met PhDs that couldn't figure 50 cents worth of this out.
Well, that's interesting. You know, in our newest book on the service prescription, one of the things we've found out is that the doctors get, doctors, dentists, optometrists, all of those guys and gals get almost no training on how to run a business, how to serve a customer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so many of them. Yeah, go ahead.
I've been going to an endocrinologist now for 7 or maybe 8 years. They should know me by now. I'm kind of an easy guy to know. And I was in his waiting room, 6 months ago. I was the only person in the waiting room. I get early morning appointments. The door opens, and the nurse said, "Ted Gross?" Well, gee whiz, I'm the only guy in the lobby. I've been going there for 7 or 8 years. You think she might have said, "Good morning, Scott. How are you?"
Mm-hmm.
No, it was Ted Gross. Like, who else could she be talking to but me? And doctors don't understand that, and they don't see that. And a lot of business people get a blind eye to what's going on in their business. That's why I think mystery shoppers are really so a great thing for businesses.
Yes, and you cover that in your books, too. Scott, this has been a lot of fun. And I'm so glad that you were able to join me today. For those of you listening, if you want to educate yourself, if you've got kids or members of family that are thinking of going into business, why not give them the ammunition to work with? Go to tscottgross.com. You'll find out all about the various publications he's had. We've been talking about his book, When Customers Talk, Turn What They Tell You Into Sales, and Why Service Stinks. And exactly what to do about it. Scott, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
And you have a successful time and send me your next book.
I'll do it. I'll have my people call your people. We'll do lunch.
You got a deal. All right, Scott, thanks so much. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't forget to go to his website, tscottgross.com, and you'll find out a lot more, maybe even more than you want, but why not? This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTaP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open, and if you'd like to give me a call and would like to let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I'd be delighted to do it. Here's our worldwide toll-free number, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. All you need to do, if you're a first-time listener, welcome. We're delighted to have you as part of our listening audience. But if you would like to call in, all you need to remember is I like to know your first name or your initial and also where you're calling from. That means a lot to me. And then after that, let me tell you what I see, and then you are welcome to ask me a question afterwards. So it's real simple, 888-815-9756. Also, I want to mention to you on the 26th, I am going to be on air with Katie. A Spiritual Hollywood is her show. She's right here on BBS Radio, station number 1. So just know that if you'd like to tune in from 6 to 7 on the 26th, Katie and I are going to be chatting that hour, and I'm so delighted to have been invited as a guest to be on her show. It's just an absolute pleasure to be with other fellow broadcasters and to interact with them. Also, don't forget, if you're interested in what's coming up with me and various appearances, etc., you can always go to my newsletter, and that you can, you know, access through my website. And my website is DelphiInternational.com, and that's all spelled out D-E-L-P-H-I, International, the whole word, two I's, back-to-back, .com. So you can go in there, and we're doing a little bit of a change with the website. As you go in and out of it periodically in the coming weeks, you're going to see a few shifts and changes that are going to be going on there, as with everybody else, just like everybody else, I should say. We do an upgrade. And if you have any questions or comments that you'd like to make about the website, just let me know, because I'm always interested in feedback from people. If you feel like it would be easier to do navigating or something like that by making certain changes, let me know. I like to hear from you. I want to also take the time to thank those of you who are sending me information. I have three items that I want to share. And if you have a special story, a recipe, something that you feel you think other people might be interested in hearing about on the Donna Sebo Show, then just send it to donna@delphiinternational.com. And I'm more than happy to share it, dependent on what's going on with the program. I received a couple of things that I want to mention to you, because actually there's three different items I want to mention. The first one is about a little girl. Her name is Nicole T. I received this from a woman, Marcia. And this is a child that is hospitalized at Children's Hospital and Medical Center in Omaha, Nebraska. Now, she's been there for 7 weeks. And very shortly, she's going to be celebrating her 11th birthday. Now, this is a child that was not supposed to even live to see her 11th birthday, and she's going to have to celebrate her birthday in the hospital. She's going to be in there for the next couple of weeks. So Marcia said, we are wanting to pass along this message we have received from Richard, because we would love to have as many people as possible send in a birthday card for her. And Marcia said, we'd love to fill her room with colorful cards. She and her sisters would love it. And you can share this address with anybody and everybody. I want to thank you all in advance if you choose to participate, because the kids are really going to really be thrilled with this. Now, this is the name of the child. Her name is Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E, just the last initial for her name, T, like Tom. It's to go to Children's Hospital and Medical Center, and that's at 8200-8200 Dodge Street in Omaha, Nebraska, 68744. Now, this is what I want to do. I'm going to give it to you again, so if you would like to send this child a birthday card, please do so. Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E, T like Tom for the last name, Children's Hospital and Medical Center at 8200 Dodge Street, Omaha, Nebraska, 68744. Now, Marcia sent an additional message in this email to me. She said, Nikki functions at the level of a baby. She's not able to walk or move about, and she has seizures several times a day. She is almost blind. She was born without part of her brain. Less than 50% of babies born with this defect survive, and many of those don't live past 1 month. But Nikki is turning 11 years old. And some people wanted to mail her a gift, but many gifts which are normally appropriate for a girl her age would not be useful for Nikki, but she does love videos and music. And this is part of the organization called Hugs and Hope. Hugs and Hope. So if you want to send the little girl a card, I think it's a great idea. I'm going to be popping one in the mail myself. But I think that it's always good to share this because this is a child, a very special child, that has, for whatever reason, been able to survive, probably due to a lot of love and a lot of good care by a family and also medical personnel. And she is going to enjoy it regardless. So I have that. And then I wanted to let you know, one of my guests, her name is Susan Silberstein. This is a physician that has dedicated her life to improving people that have the condition of cancer. Her organization is called the Center for Advancement in Cancer Education. And for those of you who are listening in New York, actually anywhere, because they don't care where people come from, but her research and what she's done with well over 30,000 patients through the years that they've had this organization has been quite amazing. She was a guest on my show. Well, I had an email waiting for me today that said her organization is going to have to close its doors unless they are able to get some donations. And she said, in these difficult financial times, donations to the Center for Advancement in Cancer Education are down by 50%. A lot of groups and organizations are having a tough time. So she said, we want to thrive, not just survive. So please help this worthy cause continue its important work. They started in 1977, and they've been able to work with over 30,000 people. So if you'd like to know more about this organization and the work that it's done, visit this website, www.beatcancer.org. That's beatcancer.org. Their mission is to provide education and counseling on how to prevent, cope with, and beat cancer through immune-enhancing approaches. This is a fabulous, fabulous program. And as I said, I'd had Susan as a guest on my show. So I wanted to be sure and pass that along to you as well. And then there was this last email that came from a person that used to be in Thailand. Now they've moved back to the United States. It's Lawn. And I wish I were on television because I'd show you the pictures that were sent to me. They're just absolutely awesome. But he said, so you think you've had it rough, you've got to read this one. And Lon's had some real challenges in his life, but these were just absolutely amazing. There's a picture that opens up with a young man and a young woman, and they're in a hospital room. And the young woman and the young man are each sort of sleeping in the individual beds there. She has all kinds of equipment wired into her. And the girl in the picture, her name is Katie Kirkpatrick. She's 21 years old. And in the adjacent bed sleeping is her fiancé, Nick, 23. Now, this picture and a grouping of other pictures were taken shortly before their wedding, which was held on January 11th. And this was in 2005 here in the United States. Now, here we are in 2009, and you may wonder why it's taken so long to get to me. I don't know. All I know is that Lon found out about this, and he said, this is a story that is timeless because Katie had terminal cancer at the time and would spend hours a day receiving her medication. And her fiancé was waiting in this other bed in the room for her to get through with his session. Well, there's a series of photographs. One is of Katie in her wedding dress, and she is so thin. She is just so terribly, terribly thin. And she's got her wedding dress, she's got her wedding veil on, and it said, in spite of all the pain, organ failures, and morphine shots, she's going along with her wedding, and she takes care of every single detail, and her dress had to be adjusted a few times due to her constant weight loss. And then they show a picture of Katie and her husband to be, and that's Nick, and she had to, throughout all of the procedures, the wedding, carry an oxygen tube with her, and it was with her throughout the reception as well, and they show a picture of the parents, and they're very excited because the wedding is taking place. And then they show her in her wheelchair after the wedding, listening to a song to her from her husband and friends. And then they show her at the reception where she's got her arms crossed on her knees because she had to rest. The cancer was quite serious, and her pain was so intense that she could not stand up for long periods of time, so she'd have to sit. The final picture that is in this email that I received shows Katie and her husband, Nick, just in a very, very loving, affectionate pose. And Katie died 5 days after her wedding. And the message was, watching a woman so ill and weak getting married and with a smile on her face makes us think. Happiness is reachable no matter how long it lasts. We should stop making our lives complicated. Life is short. Break the rules. Forgive quickly. Love truly. Laugh constantly. And never stop smiling, no matter how strange life is. Life is not always the party we expect it to be, but as long as we are here, we should smile and be grateful. I want to thank Lon for sending that. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about eggplant electronics. You heard me right. Yes, you can play an eggplant. We'll be back in just a minute. This is Donna Sebo. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. If you want to chat, give me a call. 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. Now, that's a worldwide number. Anybody can call in from anywhere in the world. Let me tell you what we've got lined up for next week. We've got a great lineup of people. We're going to be talking about self-publishing with Dan Poynter on Monday. Dan is well known about, especially when it comes to self-publishing. This man is going to be able to share with us a lot of good information about self-publishing on a level that is going to enable you to be successful if this is what you want to do. Also, we're going to be talking with Clayton Galdron. You're not who you think you are. That's right. There's more to you than you realize. Then we've got Teresa Tapp, one of my favorite people, getting fit and fabulous in 15 minutes. It does work. And then on the 21st, we're going to be talking with Francine Silverman. This is a woman that's going to be talking about talk radio. Yes, talk radio wants you. 700 programmings that she's got in her book that makes it available for anybody who's interested in utilizing the resources that she's taken time to collect. And then we're going to be talking about 1111, the time prompt phenomena. I have a friend that really has, I don't know how she does it, but 1111 pops up for her all over the place. Anyway, we're going to be talking about that. We have a great lineup of guests this month. And just know that with next month, every month we put that list of information up on bbsradio.com. So you'll be able to go in and you'll be able to know who's coming up. And if you should miss the show, remember we've got the archives, and those archives are available to you. So just remember, if you miss something, you can go in and listen to it later on. And don't forget, you can call me while we're on the air live at 888-815-9756. Or if you like, set up a private appointment to me, whatever works for you. Again, my office number is 800-872-8852. Eggplants, would you believe they have music in them? Well, I guess everything could be said, if you really wanted to get technical, that the frequency of every form in life has music to it. Well, what would you say about green beans having a special pop? Like raindrops in the puddle. Well, there is a Vienna Vegetable Orchestra, and I'm not kidding. They're for real. They really are. I've got a picture of them in front of me. The guy is sitting. He is taking a zucchini, a red pepper, and a carrot, and he's playing it. He also has a squash, some leeks, tomatoes, eggplants, a wooden spoon, and even a little bit of kale. It all has its own music. Now, this is a real fun thing. There's 11 musicians that produce music by blowing into carrot tubes, strumming a pumpkin harp, and snapping celery stalks. Now, they do all of their music exclusively with vegetables. This is how they're titled. They have leek violins, pepper trumpets, eggplant clappers, and cucumber phones. Now, you try saying all of that in five times in a row real fast. Not me. I only made it one time. Now, these vegetables, we all know how moist they are, but they create what they call a watery timbre. And the more water that is in the vegetable, the softer the sound. And he says it's more soothing, more juicy, and very smooth. Now, one of the things they have to do when they're working with these veggies, when they're under the hot lights, their instruments will dry out and change their tune. So the musicians, they have to go out and buy these vegetables fresh from the market before they do their concert. And then with whatever's left over, they make it into a soup. And their audiences are always invited to partake in this sumptuous, wonderful soup that they make. And they say they dunk their carrot flutes in the water between pieces. This must really be something to see. Now, this orchestra was founded in 1998, and it's going to be on tour in the United States this summer. But you can also get its CD, Automate, and you can get it from Transacoustic Research. And this is music that was played on a pumpkin drum, and hollowed out carrot flutes were used with squeals of cabbages being rubbed together. Yeah. You think you've heard everything, but let me tell you, you haven't heard it all until you've heard an eggplant clap and a pumpkin harp. That is a first for me. This is Donna Siebel, and I know that we're almost out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Make music in life, and remember to smile, because every moment is rich with opportunity. And if nothing else, if you're not able to share it with someone, a moment, share it with yourself. And be grateful for the life you have. Because after all, it is your life, and you can do with it and make music with it in the way that you want. This is Donna Siebel. We'll talk with you on Monday. Same time, same place. Have a fabulous weekend. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.